Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles opened up to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. I was looking at it before I had put my glasses on, so things tend to look a little different when I don't have these glasses on. But if 2 Timothy, the first chapter, amen, and the 6th verse. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Somebody say sound mind. Ah, that's what we need today, a sound mind, because that's where the battlefield is taking place, in our minds. And if you don't have soundness of mind, you are fighting a losing battle. It will almost be impossible for you to win. Amen. Amen. So as we begin here again, it says, Wherefore I put in thee remembrance that thou stir up the gift. You have to stir up the gift. You have to stir it into a flame. You have to fire yourself up. You have to gird yourself up with the word of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. It sounds kind of contradictory because he says, stir up the gift in you by the putting on of my hands. But that don't seem to work for us today, seeing that we don't have him around to put his hands on us. So somewhere in there, we have to learn to do what? Stir up the gift within ourselves. There's only one way you'll ever stir up the gift in you, and that's through the word of God. That's through prayer and supplication. You have the ability to stir up the gift within you. What gift do you want to stir up? The gift that says, regardless of what's going on, I will give God praise. The gift of grace, which, you know, is free. Undeserved favor of God. You have to remind yourself that God has given you something that is free. And it's the favor of God. And it follows you everywhere. It's with you at all times, regardless of whether you're going through or you're not going through. Remember, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. So you're going to have troubles just like those that are serving God are going to have troubles. But the good thing about it is, in the midst of your troubles, you got someone you can lean on. You have a God that you can lean on who says he'll fight your battles for you. So what Paul was letting them know, stir up the gift, because I have already laid hands on you, and these hands that I laid on you is to remind you that the power of God is in your life, and that you now have ability to stir up your own gift, to stir up the power of God in you, to fan the flame. Sometimes you have to learn to fan the flame that's in you. Because sometimes that flame gets dormant, gets light, don't burn as hot because of the hell and all the trouble you're going through. That flame wants to settle down to hardly nothing, so you have to fan it. But you can't fan it if you don't study to show yourself approved. You can't fan that flame if you don't pray. If you don't seek God, it's impossible to fan the flame. But when you begin to study the word of God, you fan that flame. When you begin to pray, you fan that flame. When you begin to praise God, you fan that flame. When you begin to do the things of God, you fan that flame, and you bring yourself into a place where you can look at the situation a whole lot differently than the way it really is. The reason we have to do this, because there are so many different things that are going on in the world today. Things that are going on in our neighborhoods. Things that are going on our streets. Things that are going on in our churches. Wherever we go, there is something going on that is absolutely out of the ordinary. Amen. Amen. There are things being spoken or from pulpits. Paul was telling them, remember, you have to stir up the gift of God within you so that when these times come, that you don't have the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. The word fear is translated cowardice. God didn't give us a spirit of cowardice. We don't have to be afraid. World turning upside down, God say you can still have firm footing. Storms all around you, God say you can still be storm resistant. Amen. Amen. It's raining all on you, God said, but you can repel the water. Regardless of what's going on, you don't have to be a coward. You don't have to be fearful of the things that you're going through, because you're not going through them alone. Be different if you was going through them alone, but you're not. You're going through them with a God that created the heavens and the earth. You're going through them with a God that created all creeping things. You're going through them with a God that created the firmament. You're going through them with a God that created man in his own image. You're going through them with a God that can do all things according to his own power and the working of his own ability. You're going through them with a God that's faithful. You're going through them with a God that is full of love. You're going through a God that's full of compassion. You're not going through these things alone. But for some strange reason, we think we're going through them alone because we can't feel God. We can't sense God. We can't see God. We can't hear God. But I want you to know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and he will never leave thee or forsake thee. Anytime you want God to be in your presence, you start praising him, because the word of God said God inhabits the praise of his people. You want God in your midst, and you praise him. I know you don't feel like praising him all the time, but sometimes you just gonna have to offer up a sacrifice of praise. Lord, I'm sick in my body, and I don't feel like praising you, but here it is.
Amen.
Lord, they persecute me. They're trying to drive me crazy, but here it is. Lord God, I don't have the finances I need and the things I need to take care of, but you know what, Lord? Here it is. Here's my praise. Get in the midst of my praise. Here, Lord God, things ain't going the way I want them to go, Brother Russell. I thought they were going to go one way, Sister Vaughn, but they went another way. I thought folks were going to do this, but they did that. So I'm going to praise you anyway. And if God gets in the middle of your praise, then God will give you the strength, and you don't have to be a coward. You don't have to be fearful of the things that you're about to go through. Well, looks like you're about to walk into a hurricane, but you don't have to be fearful, because God didn't give you that spirit. Amen. But he gave you the spirit. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you the power of love.
Yes.
And the word of God says love conquers a multitude. We were on this last week. Love conquers a multitude of sin. Love overwhelms anything in your flesh that will try to separate you from the power of God. And what folks fail to realize, that's all this thing is about, is to separate you from your God. Whichever way it can, however way it can, it wants to separate your mindset from that which is a believer. I woke me up at 3:30 this morning, and I heard God, and I was laying there trying to go back to sleep, and I heard God said, I said, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I said, well, Lord, the devil ain't here, so what am I saying it for? He said, because what you need to understand, when you resist the devil, when you speak that word, resist the devil and he will flee from you, what you're doing is resisting a mindset that allows your flesh to overwhelm you and overthrow you. You're not really resisting the devil, but you're resisting that idea where he tried to overthrow everything that was God, and your mindset wants to overthrow that is God in your life so he can make you miserable and unhappy and make you think that nothing's going to go your way, and God's never going to bless you, and God's never going to heal you, and God's never going to deliver you. But I got news for you. He can't stop what God has already called into place. He can't stop what God is already chosen, but you have to keep believing God. You have to keep your confidence in God. Don't put your confidence in me. Don't put your confidence in him. Don't put your confidence in her. Don't even put your confidence in yourself. Let your confidence be in God. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And the reason we really need a sound mind is because every day there's something going on in our mind that wants to separate us from the power of God. The battles that we go through, the mind is the battlefield. There's a warfare going on in your mind. trying to tell you that God ain't God, trying to convince you that God will never change this, trying to tell you that God will never move for you, trying to tell you your body will never be healed, trying to tell you that God will never stop it from being that way. But I got news for you. If you keep your confidence in God, God's going to do what he's going to do, because God's not man that he should lie, and he's not the son of man that he should repent. So whatever God said, he is going to bring it to pass. But you got to keep your confidence in him. You got to keep your faith moving, and you got to keep it moving. When Nathan made the statement, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," I thought that was just so prophetic. But I still didn't understand it. And then when I began to understand what it meant, then it became something personal to me. What it meant was, when you get to a place in your life and you're ready to end it because you can't take no more, you're absolutely tired, fed up, beat up, worn out. Nobody understands. No one can help you. You have to say to yourself, mindset, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Then that's when you let that mind, what kind of mind is that? The mind that Jesus had was this, that regardless of how much I'm hated, I will love. Regardless of how much I'm abused, I'll pray. Regardless of how much I'm persecuted, I'll still trust in my God. Regardless of how much hatred comes against me or what I don't have, I will still offer up a sacrifice of praise. That's what Jesus did. That's why the man of God said, I think it was Job said, though they slay me, yet will I praise my God. Because you're like sheep for the slaughter every day. But I guarantee you, if you remember that the mind of God is in you and that the glory of God is flowing from you, that you can lift up your hands. Sometimes you ain't even got to lift up your hands. All you got to do is lift up your eyes to the hill from which cometh your help, knowing that your help cometh from God, and God will give you what you need. God will give you the strength you need. He'll give you the joy you need. He'll give you the peace you need. So therefore, you don't have to worry about being afraid or being a coward or anything, but you can run this race with patience. Understand that God giving you ability beyond ability. He's giving you authority beyond authority. Why? Because we go from faith to faith, from honor to honor, from glory to glory. We leave this faith and we move into a realm of faith that we can see things that we wouldn't normally be able to see. Hallelujah. 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 Sound mind. Healthy. To have a healthy mind. Well, my God, so sometimes it's hard to have a healthy mind. Look at Joseph. I wonder if his mind was healthy while he was in the pit. His own family threw him in the pit. I wonder, you think he had a healthy mind? I think he might have had a troubled mind. But it had to be healthy. And the fact that when he got out of the pit, he still believed in the dream. When he got locked up in the house, thrown in the jail, accused of all this stuff by the man, king's wife, he still did what? He still believed in the dream. Why? Because even though there was a battle going on in his mind, he had what? A healthy mind. Just because you have a healthy mind don't mean that it ain't going to go through anything. You can have a healthy mind and still suffer in your mind. But the thing about it is, the healthiness is more powerful than that which is sick. That's why the word of God says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. So we don't have to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner for thou. Oh, nor of me his prisoner. See, that's the difference between the church then and the church now. They were the prisoners of Jesus. We are the prisoners of circumstance, situation, pain, financial deficit, heartache, broken hearts, all kind of stuff. We are prisoners of all these things. When they only allowed themselves to be prisoners to Jesus, if they threw them in a dungeon, they still praised God. While they were being whipped, they still praised God. If they hung them upside down on the cross, they still praised God. If they boiled them in oil, they still praised God, because they realized they were prisoners of Christ. We are prisoners of circumstance. Anytime you become a prisoner of your circumstance, it prevents you from reaching the goal that God has already set forth in your life. So that means you got to keep pushing, and you got to keep driving, and you got to keep running, and you got to keep your eyes focused on the prize. And the prize ain't a big house or a car, but the prize is Jesus. Yeah. I'm closing. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. I love that part right there. He didn't call us according to our works. If he did that, would no one be sitting here? We'd all miss God. Well, I know some of y'all out there thinking, y'all, I ain't one of them. He had to call me according to works. I'd have missed him. I wouldn't be sitting in the chair, Sister Gilman. I'd be sitting under the chair. But because his grace was sufficient, and he called me with a holy calling, not according to works, but because of his purpose. And his purpose means prothesis, that which is put before, meaning that God had already set me apart or called me apart. God already knew that I was going to be a big screw up. Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, in the beginning, before it went to create man, he said, you know what? Right now, we're going to call and ordain Dennis Gardner, but you know what? He is going to be the biggest screw up we ever had. And he's going to need a whole lot of grace and buckets of favor. And we're going to have to watch over him morning to night and night to morning. But you know what? Our grace will be sufficient for him. And in all of his screw-ups, he'll learn. In all of his troubles, he'll understand. And he'll come to a place eventually where he'll do the work that I've called him to do. So it don't matter. God didn't care about our screw-ups. All he cared about was who we are. He looked past our messes, and he looked into our future. Amen. Because he had a purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. See, before the world began, God had already chosen you. He had already decided. He already knew who you were, what you were, what you were going to do, what you're going to get into. You say, well, if he knew all that, why didn't he stop it? Because he gave you your own free will and volition. If God stopped you from doing anything, how would you become something? But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. I like this. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus. His appearing is in you. With his appearing in you, now is made known the purpose of God. In spite of your works, he's still bringing forth his purpose, who has abolished death. I like that part, that he has abolished death, so I don't have to die anymore. And they can't kill me. Oh, somebody gonna get that in a minute. Folks all over trying to kill you. But they can't. Because God has given you life, and life more abundantly. So we got something to shout about. You should have been crazy and dead and mixed up and screwed up and thrown out. But here you are, able to praise God, exhort God, lift up the name of Jesus. Come on now, you are something to praise God for. Folks all around you want to see you fall, don't want to see you make it, want to see you destroyed, want to see you fall on your face, want to see you die, but you can still shout the praises of God. You can still lift up and give him praise. Oh, come on now. These folks don't care nothing about you, but God cares everything about us, and he's made provisions for us, and he made a way of escape for us. So I'm excited about the King of Kings. I'm excited about our Lord of Lords. I'm excited about our Jehovah Jireh. I'm excited about our God, because in spite of all of this, he's a great God, he's a mighty God, and you know what's more important? He's a loving God, because he looked past my faults and he saw the need in my life, and that's what he dealt with. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. Baby, we got some stuff going on in our lives that we could write books. And they would be bestsellers. But if you did that, you might as well go on the Jerry Springer show. And get paid for telling your business. Amen. But I'm excited in spite of everything. Yeah, there's times I'm down and I get discouraged and I feel broken. Don't know which way to turn. But I still remember to call on Jesus. Jesus, you called me. You chose me. I messed up. I screwed up. But you still love me. And if you love me, I can deal with everything else. And long as you love me, I can keep on going. And that's what we're doing. We're keeping on going. We're keeping on going. Because God's going to do something supernatural and great. Not just in my life, but in your lives too. Because God's called us to something great. And he's called us something supernatural. And the supernatural can't take place unless he's got somebody he can use. Somebody said, made the statement, heard preacher made the statement, Mother Jordan, God don't need everybody, anybody. Well, if he didn't need us, why did he make us? If he didn't need us, he wouldn't have made us. He just left them animals running around and them creeping things and the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. But he needed us because he needed somebody to live in that would love him as much as he loved them. Someone that would serve him like he would serve us. Someone that would praise him like he praises us. You don't think he praises us? When Satan went before God and wanted to mess with Job, he said, Job, that's my good and faithful servant. God was praising him. God praises you all the time. That might be why you go through some of the things you go through, because God is praising you. But when God begins to praise you, you don't have to worry about the devil getting mad. Your flesh gonna get mad. Your flesh gonna get so mad, you go to bed feeling great, go wake up feeling like you've been hit by a 2x4. And you be asking yourself on your way to the restroom, where's that Mack truck? When you went to bed, you were jumping up and down and walking on the treadmill and felt absolutely great. And you woke up like, boom, what happened? Don't you think for 1 minute your flesh wants you to be happy and it don't. Folks say, well, why are you talking about the flesh? Because it's the enemy of God. The Bible never said that Satan hated God. He didn't hate God. Satan loved God. He just wanted to be in the power with God. The Bible says Adam hated God. And he still does. And since Adam is in you, if you give him a chance, you'll hate God too. You don't believe it? Stay sick long enough. Stay broke long enough. Stay confused long enough. You will find yourself wondering, where you at, God? I done paid my tithe. I done gave my offering. I've been faithful in a few things. You said you was going to bless me in the much, and I ain't got nothing. Where you at, God? You may not think so, but folks get mad. I done got mad at God a few times. Lord, leave me alone. You didn't show up when I needed you. Good thing his grace is sufficient, because he would have just went. I'd have walked out in front of a bus, or a bus would have walked up on me. Hallelujah. So we can't do nothing but praise him. You might as well praise him. Let me give you a slight revelation. Your situation ain't never going to start to turn around till you realize that you need to praise him. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The power is the dunamis, which is ability to use the power that's already in your life to help you make it through the hard times. Amen. Glory to God. Come on and give God some praise this morning. I feel led to do something I haven't done in a long time. I want to have everybody come through here in a line, and I want to anoint and pray for you. If you're sick, discouraged, despondent, brokenhearted, any of that stuff, I want you to come through this line expecting God to give you what you have need of. Amen. And I want you to get out something and give God something. I want you to get out a $20 offering, and I want you to give it. If you have those envelopes that I gave out that you're bringing back, you can bring them through also. But I want everybody, and if you don't have a dime to give, I still want you to come through this line, because you need God to move for you too. Amen. If you've taken the $100 envelope and you haven't turned it in, we need you to turn it in as quickly as possible. Amen. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. I want everybody to make me a line over here to the left. And this last aisle over here, everybody, because once we get to moving, we're going to be moving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you come into his presence, lifting up the name of Jesus, and you hear the music playing, and you feel people praise, just forget about your problems.
Let your troubles fall behind you. Don't you wait another minute. Just get up and on your feet.
Start to dance. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as we lay hands on everyone, Lord God, whatever it is they need in their bodies, in their minds, in their spirits, in their souls, you're going to provide and meet the need. Lord God, you're going to move by your Holy Spirit, for nothing is impossible unto you. And Father, we're expecting the impossible to take place. Lord God, we're expecting things to move in the name of Jesus. Lord God, oh my God, I thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Mashata. Mama. Thank you, Jesus.
And you come into his presence, lifting up the name of Jesus.
Mashata.
And you hear the music playing.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
People praising. Just forget about your worries.
Oh, Mama.
Let your troubles fall behind you. Don't
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Another minute.
Yes,
just
Lord.
Father,
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Please.
My God, Father, in the name of Jesus, my God, I thank you right now.